We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Should GLP-1 weight loss medication like Wegovy and Zepbound cost thousands of dollars? We don't think so. Try LifeMD.com helps provide insurance access to the leading GLP-1 medications. Visit TryLifeMD.com and check your eligibility for GLP-1 medication with copays as low as $0. Listen to Bridget's story after losing 55 pounds and using her insurance for coverage.
LifeMD helped me get covered with my insurance. Finding out that it was covered was huge. I've lost 55 pounds. I am so much healthier now that I've lost the weight. I would never be able to do it without them.
Get started today and check your eligibility for GLP-1 medication with copays as low as $0 at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Yes, 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 yes.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK and WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for dropping by. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking out the episode. I do hope you hit that subscribe button if you're not already. I'll give you new interviews just like this one every single week. You can grab us wherever you're listening from, including Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please do give this series a rating and a review while you're at it. Those always help out so much. We've had some great guests drop by recently, including Imperial Teen and Raina Maria. We talked with Auli'i Carvalho, who you know is the voice of Moana, about her latest projects. Lenny Waronker was here. He was head of Warner Brothers Records during the Purple Rain era and Tom Petty's Wildflowers. We talked with John Densmore of The Doors. Hannah John Common, she plays Ghost in the Thunderbolts movie and Ant-Man and the Wasp. Gene Simmons of Kiss was here. Kevin Bacon and Jennifer Nettles. Adam Duritz of Counting Crows. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith, today welcoming back Finn Wolfhard. Of course, you probably got to know him originally as Mike Wheeler from Stranger Things, the kid with the bowl cut and the weight of the upside down on his shoulders. But Finn's made a career of zigzagging away from expectations. He fronted the indie rock bands Calpurnia and the Aubreys. We've had him on to talk about those. He directed the short film Night Shifts. He co-wrote the horror comedy Hell of a Summer that just got released, that also debuted at TIFF when it came out. He's got Wes Anderson flair. He's got Tim Burton vibes. And he's got a filmography that includes Ghostbusters, It's, Pinocchio, and now he's back with his very first solo album, the very first album under his own name, I should say, and it's called Happy Birthday. We get to talk about how he says he wrote around 50 songs, 90% of them mostly not usable, but the remaining 10% shaped a surprisingly cohesive set about coming of age. Finn's going to open up about recording lo-fi vocals to cassette, mixing noise rock with nostalgic childhood reflections, and why character-based songwriting has always come easier than getting vulnerable. We also get to discuss his collaborations with Jesse Eisenberg on When You Finish Saving the World, his early love of Daniel Johnson and Ben Lee, and the indie rock rabbit hole he fell down thanks to Joe Keery, of course, his castmate on Stranger Things. In fact, we'll hear about just how musical that cast really is. All that and more as we discuss Happy Birthday, the new solo record. It's Kyle Meredith with Finn Wolfhard.
Hey, how's it going?
I was kind of just marveling at everything going on because I'm guessing like you're out there promoting what, like three things at the moment? Like not only the album, but Hell of a Summer and the legend of, is it Ochi?
Yeah, Legend of Ochi. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now I'm sort of promoting one and a half things or two things right now. So I'm in New York City and promoting the film that I wrote and directed called Hell of a Summer. I co-wrote and co-directed it with my partner, Billy Brick. So that came out today, April 4th.
Congrats.
Thanks, man.
We haven't seen it, by the way, but the amount of times already since watching that trailer that my wife and I have said the lines, no, I blew her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
As the
oh,
punchline. It's already made its way into our lives.
Oh, that's the biggest compliment there can be, man. Thank you so much. But yeah, no. So I'm promoting that and then promoting the record, which comes out in June. And then, yeah, I have Legend of Ochi as well. So, but I think I do press for that end of this month. But it's been good. It's been unbelievably busy, but good. And excited to be talking about it.
Yeah. Well, this record, Happy Birthday, is such a fun listen. And hearing like you're going to like it. So this is the first time like it's officially the solo record. And
yeah.
as we mentioned, like you and I have been talking since the Calpurnia days, you know, with Cell and City Boy and all of those songs and then through the Aubreys and everything. But now here's the thing, like, what is this for you? Like I read in the press release, like you had sort of made this challenge to yourself about writing like a bazillion songs in a short amount of time. Like, how do you arrive here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was something that for some reason I just made a bet with myself basically to try to write 50 songs by the end of the year. And sort of knowing that I wouldn't get there, but it was more, to me, it was more just a motivation to start writing. And it sort of helped me just write a lot. And not that, you know, I would say, I don't know, 90% of it was really bad, but then there's 10% of it that I think ended up like being really cool. And I used some stuff for Aubrey songs, and then there were these songs that I'd written on my own that to me felt like they were all kind of a part of a, you know, all saying kind of a similar thing. Like they were all, it all seemed to have a theme around it, around these songs actually that were sort of about, yeah, just like coming of age, being, you know, going to another chapter in your life. And so it kind of realized that I had a bunch of songs that were sort of personal, more personal to me. So I just thought, okay, well, I'll just record these songs on my own. And it was going to go under another band. I was going to just hide behind another band name, which, you know, like I was totally fine with doing. And then through talking to a few people, I kind of decided to just go fully in, and just do it under my name because, you know, it's a personal record. So I think, you know, to use my own name, I think it makes it a little bit more authentic, I think.
When you listen to it, I mean, do you hear the differences in what this is versus where you came from? Like when I hear it, of course, there are some hallmarks, you know, some of my favorite stuff, early Ben Lee and Ben Queller, Daniel Johnson, Elliott Smith, like that stuff is in there. And so is that garage rock that I remember from your earlier days, just this more grown up version of it, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, those, and thank you so much for listing those, because those are huge inspirations for me. And yeah, Ben Lee, I mean, you know, Noise Addict is amazing, and all the four track stuff, and so yeah, that's nice of you to say. But yeah, I mean, I also didn't want to make something that, you know, I didn't want to make something that was just like one, like every song was like one genre all the way through. Like I wanted there to be a different vibe for every song, and wanted to try my hand at a few different kind of songs, you know. So the things that I really like writing and the songs I really usually like writing are sort of catchy, trying to write catchy sort of pop rock songs that have, you know, choruses that you can sing along to. And then, you know, also writing sort of more softer, almost like singer-songwriter kind of folky stuff. was also, you know, something that I wanted, that that naturally just started coming out. And then I also just wanted to also include some loud ones on the record, because I love, you know, love louder music and love garage rock and punk and all that stuff. So I think I just kind of blended all of my influences together and ended up, yeah, making this record.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Memorial Day deals are here at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances, including Samsung. Plus, save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances, $396 or more. Like the Samsung Bespoke AI Laundry Combo, the largest capacity, fastest, all-in-one laundry combo available that washes and dries in one machine. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 5/15 through 6/18. Selection varies by location. Total savings varies based on purchase amount. See Lowe's.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Finn Wolfhard.
And what you do with your voice on some of those songs, like Every Town There's a Darling. Like, I was like, is that him? It doesn't even sound like him.
Yeah, that's funny. So that's recorded to 4-track cassette tape, and then I did I doubled the vocal take and then pan them, like hard pan both of them, and then I pitched it up. So that's why. It sounds like kind of a different person, because I'm just using very speed, and I do that a good amount actually on this record, where there's pitch stuff and messing around with different pitches. And that's what was really fun also about recording on tape, but it was great.
It's cool that you can do that, to let go, because I'm not trying to say it's not authentic, but to kind of like, it's still you, but it allows it to be something different at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's like the writing and the songwriting, I feel like, is authentic and something that is deeply personal. And then the recording style makes it something that, or in the production, just makes it something that that has a little something going for it that's a bit different. So, yeah.
So you talk about those personal lyrics too, and like Choose the Ladder, you know, your lead single on there, which I think was written as Decision Paralysis. I like that phrase and everything. But hearing you talk about that, like identity and anxieties, like you know, of course, there's almost a cliche, people talk about writing as therapy. But when you group these songs together, I mean, is it helpful? Do you find that you're working through something?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. Like I usually just start with writing the music first, or writing a guitar or a riff or something that I really like playing and think is like melodic and kind of a song on its own, without lyrics. And then afterwards, yeah, like lyrics, I'll decide kind of in that moment of like what I want the song to kind of feel like or be about. And I'd say it's therapy in a lot of ways. I mean, you know, a lot of it I think is subconscious and comes after the fact, like after the, you know, after I record the song and I realize like, oh, it was about that, which is really kind of a weird thing, because it just like, it, you know, makes you feel like, oh, I thought I was just writing a story, but I guess it was like way more personal than I thought. And maybe that's just something that the brain does sometimes to try to filter stuff out. But there's definitely songs on the record where it was, you know, on purpose, like I was talking about something that affected me on purpose and knew exactly what I was talking about when I was recording it. And yeah, I mean, therapy, you know, it just, when I play music or play songs, it does just, it makes me feel good. And sometimes writing lyrics, it does, you know, up your sort of mood and your mental health. So I would say, yeah, I'd say it's in a way, it's definitely therapy.
And Crown, I was thinking about too, because those are fun lyrics as we're talking about, but it if I'm getting it right, like it touches on, you know, that moment of childhood, you know, and it has that nostalgia. And I think you're even at that perfect age right now where childhood's like, not so far away,
it's just in the rear view, like
right, where you can really be nostalgic about it.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, you know, again, it's that thing of, I'm also not trying to sound like a, you know, I'm a seasoned 40, you know, like whatever, I'm still 22. And, but you know, I mean, I do remember there's a difference. Like, there really is a difference between, you know, being in your early 20s and then, like, looking back and thinking about your whatever when you were between, you know, ages, whatever, 7 and 12, where it was like everything was so much easier and everything was done for you in a lot of ways, you know. And you know, like, there in the I sort of, you know, you get like, I always, when you're, you know, you get bathed and your parents, like, you know, wash your hair and put the cup of water or whatever on your head, and like, that is, like, looking back, is actually just such a luxury. And now, you know, so you look at these things that you really, like, as a kid, it's just like what it was and you take for granted. And then, yeah, sort of putting that nostalgia and I guess that, like, missing that time, and then you recontextualize it and put it into a rock song and a kind of a jam, like, yeah, noise rock song. So
you can't go back to your mom and ask her just to put a cup of water over your head at this point?
Weirdly, I think she would, which would be so weird. So no, yeah, we've moved past that.
It's probably smart. It's probably for the
probably
better
smart.
For everybody.
Probably for the best, yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Finn Wolfhard.
There is this moment before, so between the Aubreys and this, and I guess when you finish Saving the World, the movie, and you've got that character, Ziggy Katz, and that was, I've got Ziggy over my shoulder too, a different one.
Ziggy Stardust, yeah.
As I'm thinking about that too. But that whole idea of writing from characters, and I don't actually know the story behind those two songs on that soundtrack, but do you ever find yourself able to do that, wanting to do that?
Writing songs for films?
Yeah, well, writing from a character's point of view. Like,
oh, yeah,
that
definitely
seems like a real good luxury, a tool in your belt, if you will, you know.
100%. Yeah, I mean, to speak on how those songs came about, Emil and Jesse Eisenberg, Emil, who was the composer on the film, who's amazing and did the score for Minari and, like, all these amazing films, and he wrote a lot of the music, or he wrote the music to the movie, and him and Jesse collaborated on the song Pieces of Gold and every song in the movie. And then really sweetly, they wanted my input, and there's some things that I added to it. And there's one little song in the movie that I wrote, but it's mostly just Jesse and Emil. And, like, what was so cool about that was the character is, you know, this young, really insecure kid who is kind of actually, like, has a lot of self-confidence in himself that he knows he sort of will be a successful songwriter, but because he's still 16, like, he still writes terrible things, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't sometimes also write really great stuff as well. Like, so I think what was so cool about Jesse and Emil and the way that they did the music was, like, I think you have to be such an amazing musician to write, like, a character's bad music. Like, you just have to know what that would be, and like, I find that so interesting. And then there's, you know, there's songs in the movie that I think are genuinely great. Like, I think Pieces of Gold, that, which is, I think, like, the single that came out, I think is, like, a great song. And it just shows that, you know, yeah, he's 16, but he might actually, like, have something. He might actually be, like, a talented songwriter in some way. And as far as writing from a character's perspective, I mean, I think sometimes that's the easiest thing for me, to be honest. Like, when it comes to songwriting, it's hard to be vulnerable and personal with songwriting, with the lyrics. And, you know, I mean, in a weird way, that's also probably why I'm an actor, because I get to just, like, you know, it's vulnerable being an actor, but it's not like you are airing out your personal dirty laundry. You get to, like, air out, like, this character's dirty laundry, and there's something kind of liberating and freeing about that. And so for the same kind of reason, sometimes, like, yeah, writing songs from the perspective of characters are can be really fun. So there's really only, I think, on the album, like, Every Town There's a Darling, really, and I guess the song Wait, which closes the record, I guess, are kind of the least, like, personal songs, but are more kind of telling stories from the perspective of someone else. But that's, like, the first songs I ever wrote, and even for, like, Calpurnia and stuff before that, it was never, you know, I was a kid, like, a little kid, and in a lot of ways I still am, like, a very young, you know, I'm a young adult now, but a kid in a lot of people's eyes. And And you know, I didn't really, when I started writing songs when I was a kid, like I didn't have life experience to write on, so I wrote from the perspective of other people and other characters. So I think it kind of comes in and out in that way.
Those are good songs. Those songs still stand. Sell is still a great song, you know,
Thanks, man. Yeah.
that comes up in that stuff. And that's not hard because not everybody, most people, luckily, we don't hear their stuff when they start
No,
out,
totally. I mean,
you
that's
know.
how I feel. That's how I feel now. I'm like, I'm proud of a lot of that music. And then, you know, there's like the odd song or whatever that I'll hear and I'll be like, oh, what were we thinking? But then I
Sure.
realized we were 14, so it's
Yeah.
fine.
Did the best you could, and luckily some of it was pretty great, you know.
Yeah.
So you got to take this stuff out on the road for a little bit too. You've got to, I mean, is this sandwiched between gigs? But it's kind of a good small tour, right?
Yep. Yeah. To kick off the record, we're doing a Pacific Northwest, like, yeah, West Coast tour. So we're doing 2 nights in LA and then San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, and then 2 nights in Vancouver.
It's cool that you get to get out there. I remember what I got. I had Maya on twice last year, and her just trying to find the time to get those shows out there. You know,
Totally.
it's like when you kind of, because really do,
Impossible when
yeah.
you have a, yeah, when you, I mean, the show, you know, it's all encompassing when we were shooting it. So was hard to find time now that the show it ended in December, so now we have a bit more breathing room for planning stuff, which is nice.
Which, by the way, and you know, I'd say that as kind of the parting thing here because it's like I've had most of the Stranger cast on here over the years to talk about music, you know, to talk about the albums. I mean, Joe's got his album just released today, actually, right?
Yeah,
It just
and
came out
it's
today.
amazing, and I highly recommend it to everyone out there.
Yeah. Do you all share a lot between the two, between all of you all?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I mean, Joe, is highly influential for me and a huge reason why I'm in, you know, why I got into the music that he sort of kicked off my love of indie rock. I mean, pop as well, like being in those pop videos as a little kid, learning about kind of alternative punk and rock. And then Joe was in Post Animal, which is opening for Joe on his next tour, and he introduced me to those guys and the Chicago scene, and that's how I got hooked up with Twin Peaks and like all these amazing Chicago bands. So he's, yeah, very highly influential for me, and also someone that I ask for advice all the time, and I'll send demos to or send, like even album covers or whatever it is, like asking him, what he thinks about it, because he's a very like collaborative guy, and he's a great guy to have.
Good friends. I love this record, man. I really do. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
It's like I said, what do you say? It scratches all the itches that I would hope for in a song and
Thank you,
an album.
man.
It was great talking to you again. Thank you for
You
taking the
too,
time and
dude.
congrats on the movies as well.
Thank you, man. Yeah. Hope to talk to you again sometime soon.
And my thanks to Finn. The new solo album is called Happy Birthday. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. That subscribe button probably sitting right in front of you. You can hit that. You get new interviews just like this one every single week. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. In fact, one of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from the Ramones, Slater Kinney, Jill Sobule, Salt, The Bongos, Kirsty MacColl, Everything But the Girl, The Beach Boys, Damien Jurado, Fiona Apple, St. Vincent, Father John Misty, Primus, Personal Trainer, and my interview with John Fogerty of Creedence Clearwater Revival. That happens every weeknight starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same as at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Do we do like a. We where we walked through the record like song by song at some point.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.